Welcome back to New Rockstars. What if episode 7 had Thor bring the party to Earth as an only child just looking for a good time? I mean, makes sense, aren't we all? And he still found Jane and Darcy, but didn't find any of the other Avengers, and everyone in the universe seemed to show up on Earth. Like, even the Sovereign. I cannot get over the fact that those gold people showed up for this party. Good God, those snobby golds. Anyway, like, literally, what is this? A Rick Sanchez party? And in the end, Earth was saved when Thor's mama showed up. Or was it? This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. My name is MT, and going rogue with me today, we have our own party goddess herself, Jessica Clemens. What's going on, Jess?
Hey, ready to talk about the snobby golds and the frosty blues.
Ooh, nice.
Snobby golds and frosty big frosty blues.
Don't get me started, baby. This ain't big question, but I got something bigger. Nope, just keep going. Skip. Edit that out.
No.
Edit that
out. Keep going. Keep it in.
Okay. Keep it in. Okay. And we, of course, we got good friend of the show and intergalactic DJ Supreme, Marina Mastros. What's going on?
Sup? Yeah, I'm a DJ for sure. I was in the episode in the back DJing.
Like, you're the alternate in case Grandmaster gets his wrist gets like hurt.
She was actually in the background doing the DJing, and he was doing the
thing. Yeah. So. Okay. She was the arms. She was actually the arms. And of course, host of the Films Lost First podcast and the guy at the party who will definitely get a tattoo with you. It's Eddie Villanueva. What's going on, Eddie?
What is up, guys? I'm excited to be here. And this last episode probably has been one of the more funner ones, but I can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
And of course, this episode of What If was one big party until some gnarly looking party crashers showed up at the very end, giving us our strongest to be continued moment in the series yet. So this moment at the end brings us to our first topic of today. Why was the Watcher surprised? Because if he was supposed to be a step ahead of knowing the consequences of a character's actions, why did Ultravision catch him off guard? And, like, what will be his response to Ultravision?
Are you raising your hand,
teacher,
Jessica?
Teacher.
Okay.
Teacher.
All right. I think we got Jess's hands up in the back. What's going on, Jess?
I think it's pretty clear that the Watcher was surprised. Oh, sorry. Not in an offensive way. But I think that... not in an offensive way. I think it's clear that the Watcher was surprised because this Ultravision wasn't from this universe. Wasn't from Party Thor's universe.
Okay.
So I think... Because he is always a step ahead. And so he was like, they're going to live happily ever after. Who the hell is this? And I think this is leading up to, even if it's a gang of big bads for the series of What If, that the Watcher will eventually have to step in because these people are now just jumping timelines. And he's like, I watch everything, but I am not going to allow you guys to just jump and rule over other people's timelines. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So I think he was surprised ultimately. Not today. He said, no.
Zerg.
Yeah, not today, bitch. And I was like, I'm here for it. Go off, Jeffrey Wright. Go off. Yeah. But I think ultimately they're not. It's from a different universe, and they weren't supposed to be showing up in this one.
That's interesting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Jess is onto something as well, because one of the biggest things that you look at with when it comes to Marvel history, when we introduce, because I'm pretty sure we all assume this is Ultravision. I mean, you go back to the comics, and even during that time, you know, Ultravision was becoming a threat to the MCU as a whole, the MCU comic universe. And so they had to bring in Korvac because of the fact that they were worried about what I think why he was a surprise is that this Ultravision was a Nexus being. And operating outside of that timeline, it's difficult to kind of pinpoint what is going on. And seeing as we're incorporating a ton of Nexus beings, that's the reason why it was such a surprise. Hopefully, kind of along the same lines as Jess was saying, they move into the arena of him being the ultimate baddie at the end of this season, and we get all the Avengers from the previous What If episodes to combat against this. Maybe even getting a glimpse of Korvac, Michael Korvac from the comics, who is the timekeepers have to actually pluck him out of the timeline and place him where Ultravision is so that they can combat against each other and Michael Korvac defeats Ultravision. That would be a fun little twist, but I think that's kind of maybe the direction they were thinking. That'd be really cool. I mean, now we're having not only the Sorcerer Supreme in some sense of a way a Nexus being with the What If series, but now we have Ultravision who may confirm he is a Nexus being.
Ooh, I really like that because I think there are rumors that Michael Korvac will be appearing in the Marvels as the main antagonist slash villain. And it would make sense given that, you know, Michael Korvac is this being all about cosmic energy and, you know,
Carol and Spectrum, that's their whole deal. Cosmic energy.
Floating so really computer, like combating in space. There you go.
Seriously, this floating computer that loves cosmic energy. It's the weirdest thing in the comics. Go look it up. But no, I really like that. What you got, Marina?
All right, mine's the dumbest.
No, don't say that, Marina.
Oh, I literally.
You're a genius.
And why'd you be the most badass one out of all of them? She's like, well, Kevin Feige told me yesterday.
It's the strongest thing you can do and most confident thing you can do, coming in and being like, mine's the dumbest.
Topic sentence. Mine's dumb.
Yeah, that's what I say every time, though. This Watcher is Uatu, right? And he's Earth's Watcher in particular. And by the way, I realize the Watchers, that's always how they've looked, but I cannot separate it in my brain. If you guys have seen on Instagram, the filter where it makes your head big and the body is little, and then people pretend they're little kids.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? And there now every time I watch the show, I cannot take Jeffrey Wright seriously because he looks like a bobblehead. And he looks like he has that filter on, and I can't deal with it. It's so funny.
He's actually at home like, all right, and we're filming for Marvel What If.
Literally, like, you might as well. That's, the proportions are identical. I can't. Okay, so in the comics, Uatu eventually is punished for interfering with Earth's, events, right? For interfering and actually taking action. We don't know in this series if this is before or after that he's already been punished. So the rest of the Watchers in Watcher World have now punished him, and he's been kicked out of Watcher World, right? And so part of being a Watcher is that you have access to the Encyclopedia Universum, right? And so my theory is that one of the consequences for him getting booted for interfering is that he doesn't have access to that anymore. In other words, he was plugged into the brain. His big old bobblehead was plugged in.
Oh, that's a good theory.
And they punished him, and he's now disconnected. So he still knows everything that he sees currently, but he can still get, like, surprised because he doesn't have access to all the knowledge in all of the other Watchers' heads. He's kind of working on his own. So it came in as a surprise. And because this is the first time he's been like, wait, what? So maybe they punished him in between, or maybe he's working on his own this whole time. He now can get blindsided, right? Because he was straight up like, wait, what? Which was very funny.
That. Okay. I do love that. I love that a lot because, like, I feel like we're starting to really go into the concept of, like, you know, like a world mind, because, like, the Nova Corps in the comics, there is a world mind, the Kree super intelligence, Supreme Intelligence, that's a world mind type, like, you know, an amalgamation of, like, all the Kree minds put together. So, like, I think it'd be really interesting to see, like, a Watcher world mind in the Watcher world, where, like, they were all connected. It's like, we're all omniscient, we're sharing all the stuff that we learned, and then, like, you know, being like, oh, Watcher, Uatu, he f***ed up. He's out of here. You don't get the sweet info. You get your own shit.
Right, and now
he's like, whatever, like, I'm on a TV show now. I don't need your guys' stupid thing anyway.
I have an agent,
I gotta deal
with
Kevin Feige, so whatever,
fuck
you
guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need you, daddy.
Yeah.
I don't need you, daddy.
But now that he's kicked out, he has more motivation to intervene, right? So in the future of the series, he might be way more likely, like Jessica was saying, I think, like, now he's going to start getting involved because right now he's like, well, if I'm kicked out, I'm kicked out. I might as well do whatever the f- I want.
I also like the idea of Doctor Strange, since he's able to see him, being like, what happens next? And be like, I don't know. I was disconnected.
Yeah. You're like, useless.
It's like, it's like unveiling the Wizard of Oz to just be a man behind the curtain. Yeah. And it's like, why can't you do half the shit you think you can do? And it's like, I don't know. They kicked me out.
Yeah.
Watcher's like, sorry, wrong number.
These are all really great theories. I love them all. I'm going to give the ladies 2,000 points each for their amazing theories, but I've got to give it to Eddie V for 3,000 points. 3,000 points for Eddie V because my man brought up Michael Corvette.
Oh, you love him 3,000.
I love him 3,000. I should have announced that up top.
No, it's
great.
It's going
to be a very biased episode because I love Eddie 3,000.
It's true. We have a Twitter relationship.
Yeah.
So.
We do.
So what are your guys' thoughts then on the idea that maybe at that point when Uatu actually was surprised, we learned from the Loki TV show that at that point in time, at the end of the series or at the end of the season, that once they crossed that threshold, as they mentioned, that anything was possible. What if at that point in the series, because time is relative, that at that point in the series, it kind of runs parallel with what was going on in the Loki series. And at that moment that he died, that's the point at to where Uatu was like, oh wait, what's going on now?
Oh wow.
It could have, I think it could line up for every universe that way, because it's like, that's how I'm thinking, or I don't, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that's what's happening with like all the other series that's currently going on, like that boom is like across the globe happening at the same time. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Watcher's just like, oh, everything's happening at once.
Right?
Like
yeah.
everything's going on. Also, it would be great for just like tangential like connection, it would be a good idea to do that.
Yeah.
So if the writers are listening to this episode of Rogue Theory,
what do you mean if?
Steal Eddie's idea.
All of us are for hire. Michael Waldron. Stuff.
Yeah.
Michael Waldron, do you have any kind of say? MT, you're friends with him. Tell him.
There you go.
But no, I really like that, Eddie, because like in as established in Loki, there is the possibility of timelines crossing and, you know, universes intersecting. So like there could be a chance that we're seeing that here with, you know, Ultron Vision crossing over with into this new reality. But chances are he's probably doing that as an extension of the Space Stone's powers that we see at the beginning of the season, because we learned that the Red Skull can open up a portal to different dimensions with the Space Stone. Like, that's just so power that we just didn't know that until now.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of, you know, the incursions, which is a Marvel
cool.
term, happening in that moment. But anyway. Good, Eddie. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's nice.
Good stuff. And that's why I love you 3000.
Oh, we all do.
But we've got some theories about why Loki was big and blue this episode. But before we do, head on over to newrockstarsmerch.com because they have not one, but two Shang-Chi inspired shirt designs. There's the latest Obsession shirt, the Great Protector, and a shirt with the lovable furball Morris on it. And you can get a great discount when you buy both at the same time because we have the technology to do so. And you'll be getting yourself two cool shirts and helping support New Rockstars and all the content that we make. But we also want to thank SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera, the system that the U.S. News and World Report names the best home security system of 2021, just got even better. This brand new outdoor security camera is engineered with all the advanced tech and security features you want and need to keep you and your family safe. It has an ultra-wide 140-degree field of view, 1080p HD resolution, and an 8x zoom. Not seven. Seven is in the past. We are in the 8x zoom territory. That means you can zoom in and clearly see images. You can clearly see things like faces and license plates. And it has a built-in spotlight with color night vision. It is super simple to set up and usually just takes minutes. For all that, minutes? Crazy. And it has an easy to remove rechargeable battery and can go anywhere on your property. If you got a big property, don't even worry about it. And the camera integrates with your SimpliSafe home security system so that every door, window, room, and outdoor space protected, all of it. And we actually have a SimpliSafe system in the office, and a few New Rockstar staffers have systems in their homes, and we love how easy that they are to install and to use. So if you try to show up, we'll know that you're coming. We'll beat you with the baseball bat. Just kidding. Don't do that. We won't do that. We're not violent people. So to learn more about the exciting new SimpliSafe wireless outdoor security camera, visit simplisafe.com/rogue. And what's more, SimpliSafe is celebrating this new camera by offering 20% off your entire new system and the first month of monitoring service for free when you enroll in interactive monitoring. Again, that is simplisafe.com/rogue. And also we want to thank Bespoke Post, because this fall Bespoke Post is here with a new seasonal lineup of Box of Awesome collections. And Bespoke Post partners with small businesses to bring you the most unique goods every month. Some cool boxes we've enjoyed in the past had the supplies to barrel age whiskey or to have an awesome picnic. So no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. From autumn craft beers to camping gear essentials, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. And they even have a box with everything you need to make an awesome jack-o'-lantern and impress the neighbors or scare the children. Hopefully the second part. And to get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com and your answers help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories, and it's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. That's the versatility that Box of Awesome does. And each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small up-and-coming brand. So please, get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code ROGUE at checkout. That is boxofawesome.com, code ROGUE, for 20% off your first box. And we also want to thank Hawthorne. Upgrade your grooming routine with Hawthorne. Hawthorne is a premium men's grooming brand that makes it easy to be your best with skincare and hair care essentials that work for you as an individual. To make things simple, they built a quiz based on data from thousands of customers to recommend products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. And it will recommend face cleansers, moisturizers, cologne, and all the other ingredients for a great routine. So to get started, build your personal profile by taking Hawthorne's quiz. They ask things like how often you shave or if you prefer bar soap or body wash. And it's really quick and easy. And at the end of the quiz, you'll view customized products tailored to your body, hair, skin, and lifestyle. And folks at New Rockstars use their products with off-screen producer Zach swearing by Hawthorne deodorant and cologne. And Hawthorne stands by their customers. So if you're not completely satisfied, they'll retailer your products for free based on your feedback and pay for the shipping. So there's truly no risk. So elevate your personal care today by taking Hawthorne's quiz. Go to hawthorne.co and use promo code ROGUE to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co. Promo code ROGUE. Hawthorne.co. Not COM. Promo code ROGUE. So moving on to our second topic of the show. How the hell did Loki become a fully fledged frost giant? Because we've always been under the assumption that Loki was a frost giant runt. But this Loki was definitely no runt. Was this like just a quirk of this timeline? Or would this have always happened if he was left with his people? Also, does Loki f***? I think Loki.
Loki,
the implication here is that Loki would be f***ing at these parties. He'd be picking up these women and they'd be f***ing.
So Loki is a runt, right? And so my theory is in this timeline, he is a runt, but in this universe, you know in real life when you get bullied when you're a kid, sometimes it's what makes you funny.
Mm. Oh yeah. This explains my entire life. Too deep, Marina.
Honestly, I feel like everybody here probably it's kind of a superpower.
I told you not to read my diary, Marina. Here we are.
Page 39 of mine, too. But, like, this is what happens. It's kind of a superpower that emerges when you get bullied as a kid. Is you're like, oh, I'll use humor to deflect it, which is, you know, welcome to my life. Mm-hmm. So you're among friends. And this is kind of the same thing. So, like, he was a runt. He got bullied. Like, all the other frost giants just, like, massively, mercilessly bullied him. From prepubescence, but then what is it called?
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Like, got testosterone, right?
Puberty.
Yeah, puberty. And he turned into a 40-foot tall giant. He was fueled by the energy that comes from having to deal with kids bullying you. And that's why he's so clever and funny. And that's why he's the leader now at the front of the pack, because he had to deal with all that growing up. And so he's funny, good looking, 40-foot feet tall. And that, so he definitely because he's built all that character as a kid.
I slightly do agree with Marina in that take. I think, so if we go back to the first Thor movie and we see Odin turning Loki into what looks like just an Asgardian from what he normally was, I think he's been living his entire life. This is Rogue Theory, you guys, so keep that in mind. He's been living his life to for the just the love and acceptance from Odin. He wants nothing more than to be just as good in Odin's eye as Thor is.
Right.
So I think not only like the magic that Odin did use on Loki to turn him into an Asgardian stunted him from turning into what a full-fledged frost giant would be. I think he just like was so preoccupied with being the chosen one, kind of like how like bullying makes you this. It's like he's been stunted like emotionally and physically because he's been trying so hard to get Odin's just acceptance. And so now that he doesn't have to get Odin's acceptance in this universe, I think he's just a full-fledged Frost Giant, and he's never had to be second best for anything. He's always been welcomed amongst his people, so he has not, he didn't have that magic, and he didn't have to get that acceptance from his father, because he had all these Frost Giants that were all equally just like, hey, we love you just the way you are. You don't have to match wits with Thor, the god of thunder here. We're all just Frost Giants, my dude. So I think he's just incredibly like lucky in this universe and just amongst people of his kind.
That's such a nice message.
We need like soft strings underneath that with Jess just said, so that way we can, you know.
Wow, the power of love.
I feel like kind of going in slightly the opposite direction of Jess. I think in the terms of him being on with the Frost Giants, him being a small runt as a baby, I feel like, because we don't know a lot about how they raise their kids over there, I kind of get this like kind of idea, this vibe that they're kind of like the Spartans, like from 300, where they train their kids up to be like vicious and battlesome and warriors. Yeah, and I feel like him having gone through all that helped him to become much bigger than what we see him in the normal universe.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, we are also still under the idea that there is a, you know, Norse mythology that is truth there. And if there is a Thor and a Frigga, and if there's an Odin, then there has to be a Loki. And I feel like there has to be some sense of maybe part of that magic that makes him the trickster god, or makes him that infamous god of mischief. There had to have been something that maybe kind of imparts in him that where he doesn't have to fully focus his energy on magic, but maybe it's the energy in his strength or something like that. Maybe that's kind of the making up for on that side. Because there has to still be something according to like the whole mythos of Loki in Midgard's, you know, theology or ideology or whatever, and making him being that cosmic incredible being.
So no matter what universe he's in, he's always special.
Do we know if the Frost Giants, because the dad, Odin, wanted peace amongst the kingdoms, or at least he said that's why he took Loki, was to get peace from, to make everybody wholesome. But I'm like, you don't steal a child to do that.
Yeah.
You don't steal a child, even though the child was abandoned.
Most of the time you don't steal a child.
It didn't work. It didn't work for Gamora.
Yeah.
It doesn't work here. Like, no. Stop trying to steal. What's with MCU stealing alien children?
Not so great.
Yeah,
the adoption process is just too annoying.
It's too much paperwork.
Steal the child.
Yeah. Might as well just destroy the people and take their children.
That one's nice. Should we take that one? Let's just take that one. No one's around.
Yeah.
Look, that'll smooth things over.
Like picking the right watermelon. Oh, this is nice.
This one's firm.
Yeah, this is nice and firm.
Every child will be a killer.
Yeah, this would be a great killer.
I think his mischievous would help him still with the people, with the Frost Giants, and just in like war and anything like that. But also, I think his mischievous would still be there, and that's why he is the leader of the pack of Frost Giants when he shows up to the party.
That's
like
right.
It's like the other Frost Giants are like, "Damn, we ain't as sneaky as you. Like, we don't need to be that sneaky anymore, my dude. They didn't take you. They brought you back." And he's just like, "Nah, I'm still Loki." So I guess it's not really a question. I think it's more of like I think that is very a right theory.
Yeah.
And that would make sense why we still have Loki. I can't wait till we go back into the Loki series and see Frost Giant Loki.
Oh my god. Yeah. He has to make a cameo now.
He has to make a cameo now.
Now he's canon.
And I'm gonna
But I do have an interesting question here. So because we know that, you know, this Loki has some type of relationship with Thor, we could also assume that he probably had a relationship with Frigga, even though that wasn't exactly his mom. So do you think that this Loki has some type of knowledge of magic? Because he technically has like two, I don't know if he has his Frost Giant moms, but he has two sets of parents. So like maybe Frigga taught him magic and taught him the magic that he needed to grow himself big, but he's not actually big. So do you think that Loki's tricking all of his friends?
He could easily learn magic, because think about it. Like, every time your friend came over after school to, like, eat pizza or do homework or whatever, you're just, like, hanging out, and the mom, like, knocks on the door and is like, "Do you guys want hot cocoa or whatever?" And she could just, like, knock on the door and be like, "You guys want to learn magic?" And then he just, you know?
"You guys want to learn a spell?"
"You guys want to learn a spell?
This Loki could learn magic, but it would choose not to. Just as we have Party Thor, where it's like, this is a Thor that doesn't care about things.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Loki would still be the same way. He was the first one to be like, "I'm not staying at this party." He's like, "That sounds like your mother to you." Yeah. Like, that's not my mama.
Yeah.
So I think he has the opportunity to. He chooses not to. He's living just a relaxed lifestyle as much as the prince Thor is.
And I think to piggyback on Jess's idea of, you know, him not needing to have that special attention from his dad. He doesn't need to have something that makes him so unique like the magic that he has that connection with Frigga to where, you know, not learning magic, he's just happy in the way he is naturally. Because to be quite honest, when he says that whole thing like, you know, purpose, or he says something to the effect that kind of mimics his, you know, glorious purpose statement in towards the tail end of this episode. And it's like, okay, he doesn't care about glorious purpose. He just wants to be. He just is happy. Which is a unique side of Loki that we haven't seen in the MCU.
It's so much better. It's so like, it's so sweet and lovely.
This is your problem.
It's like,
I hate Party Thor, but I like Party Loki.
I know. It's like, so sad that this is the only universe where he just like is so happy and content.
Right. It was so nice to see the brothers bond and just be like, we love each other. Like, I love you, Loki. I'm like, this is what I wanted. This is what we all wanted to see.
Oh, they needed to not be brothers to get that world.
Oh, God.
Even in the end, even when like Thor's pleading with them to stay, he's like, oh, it's not my mom. See you, Thor.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's
all
your
like,
mom.
Cool. Yeah. Check you out the next time.
And it's like the equivalent to how we see Loki in our universe, how he's just like, but it's a bigger disaster. Like when he attacked New York, it's just like, yeah, well, f*** you. It's like he has the same like mindset. It's just at such a lower form of just like helping you clean up this mess.
Yeah,
like hi, deuces. Like I'm leaving.
Yeah,
he's like, let's bounce, Frost boys.
Now, really quick question, because I know we didn't. There wasn't a lot that gave, you know, credence to it, but there was in the Loki series. Do we feel like this Loki is fluid?
Dude, for sure.
Just
Rager Loki is absolutely f***ing everything.
Party Loki doesn't like relationships.
He
doesn't like titles.
You cannot tie him down.
He does not want it.
Well, these were all excellent responses, but I'm going to give 2,000 points to Eddie for his response, 3,000 points to Marina for her response, but 4,000 points to Jess for her addition to Marina's response.
Yay!
So that brings us to a number that I can't calculate with my small brain. But before we continue on to our rogue question, well, let's thank Honey for sponsoring this video. We all shop online, and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. And Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, from gaming to popular fashion brands and food delivery. And when you check out from one of your favorite sites, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. And if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. At New Rockstars, producer Brandon has used Honey to save $18 on a birthday gift for his nephew, and producer Zach saved $11 on a board game. What nice men. And Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on some free savings. And it's literally free and installs within seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting New Rockstars, because this type of stuff really does help us out. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/rogue theory. That is joinhoney.com/rogue theory. All right, gang, you guys ready for this rogue question? Well, for this rogue question, we've got a title for the next installment of the Fantastic Beasts franchise in the Wizarding World cinematic universe. It's Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. So pitch me your roguest theories on what Dumbledore's secrets might actually be.
I feel like the secret probably, I mean, in all good fun, yeah, I mean, there's really some semblance of information. I believe someone had said at one point in time that Dumbledore is actually, you know, bi. But also, in seriousness, like, the secrets probably have to do with, more than likely, the finding of the Elder Wand and recognizing, you know, the different Deathly Hallows and having them on hand in order for him to defeat Grindelwald when they do that final battle. I know there's still, like, what, 5 movies in this series that they're talking about? So this is what, movie 3?
Yeah, this is the third. This is the third. I watched the second one first, and I was like, why are they, this is horrible writing. They already established who these friendships are. Like, and I am so confused. And then someone was like, Jessica, that's the second one. So I've never seen the first one. And so I saw the second one. The title, I wish they would just call them 1 or 2. 1 or 2. You don't need to come up with a crazy ass title. And I assume it's the first one.
Yeah.
And I do it. I know.
Just say F9. Yeah.
Oh my God, thank you. And so I'm so confused in the order. And then I watched the second one and I was so confused. And when Johnny Depp showed up, because I was like, he just showed up in the last 10 minutes. Spoiler. Either way.
So funny.
All right, so I'm going to take this, the not real route. also, sorry, to, not sorry, J.K. Rowling can... So I think the plot of this is Dumbledore's secret is that he's actually Hermione's father. Ooh. And I think because a genius makes a genius, and she's still mudbloodish. So I'm allowed to say it because me too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm allowed to say it because me too. And so I think he's the wizard, and her mom is just a normal lawyer.
No, what if Dumbledore is Yen Sid from the whole Fantasia 3000, 4000, 2000, where Mickey Mouse is like master.
Yeah. That would be hilarious. First off, MT, you don't get points for your theory.
I know. I'm giving myself 10,000 points for that one. Yeah. I win. Well, I think I'm going to give the rogue points, 3,000 rogue points, to Jess for that Hermione's dad thing, because I think that's just super rogue. I would love to see just secretly Dumbledore being her father. Yeah. Just being like, yeah, that's why we tolerate you. That's why everyone just tolerates your bullshit.
Dumbledore immediately ran away. People. Dumbledore immediately dipped out. He went, oh shit, I'm a wizard, but I'll send her this invitation to my school.
That's why he gave her the time turner, like, this is all I can do for you. I don't have child support.
Right.
take this damn time clock and don't go farther back to see me hook up with your mom.
Tell your mom stop sending me letters. Take this time turner.
Take this goddamn time turner.
Maybe you can stop me from
I can make
your
this
mother.
Joke because I have a single mom. It's okay.
Okay, I think this makes Jess our winner for today's World Theory episode.
Top
congratulations to Jess. You are the queen of today. I want to thank all of you beautiful people for joining me on this episode. You can follow all these beautiful people on their various Twitters. Jess at Lulu Clemens, Marina at Marina Masters, right?
Yep.
And Eddie at Filmlosophy 101. Please follow all their stuff because they're all doing amazing things, and we love supporting our beautiful friends of New Rock Stars. But more importantly, that's not that nice. more importantly than my friends, my job. And of course, you can support our channel by checking out all of our merch inspired by Shang-Chi and all of our cool nerd stuff at newrockstarsmerch.com. Thank you all so much for watching, and we will see you guys later. Goodbye.
Bye.